Don't let HR be the elephant in the room. Count on All 4 HR and Business Solutions LLC for all your HR needs. Our team uses innovative technology, effective human resource management strategies, practices, and procedures to complete the work. Our services include recruiting, training, development, compliance, employee relations, HR risk management, HRM day-to-day operations, and more. Contact us today to see what we can do for you.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy Talk About It Thursday.
What's that about it?
What is going on? Hello, everybody. Happy Talk About It Thursday. I am April Halliburton here from All for HR and Business Solutions with our fabulous, fabulous Ayana. I love her energy and her big, beautiful smile. That's all I ever see is that beautiful, beautiful smile. And when I see your smile, I can't help but smile back. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show with us, Ayana. I love, 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 love your energy.
Thank you. And I mirror everything that you say. So, you know, I put forth the energy that I get. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, Ayana is joining us. And let me tell you, she is, again, a burst of energy, beautiful spirit, always smiling. She is founder and CEO of Maximum Communications. She is an advocate for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And she's also an advocate for older adults. She is a mom, a wife, and a proud Wolverine.
Go Blue.
So I thank you for joining us today, Ayana. How are you?
I'm doing great. And thank you so much for your invitation. I hope you're going to tell people how we know each other or how we finally met each other. But yes, I'm feeling good. And I'm so excited to be here today and talk to you.
You know what? It was funny how we met again with the pandemic thing. You know, you see faces all over social media and all over. But me and you were following each other on LinkedIn. It seemed like forever. We was always commenting. And then one day at a morning spark, we just looked up and was like,
It was the Southern Wayne County Regional Chamber morning spot on a Friday, and we saw each other, and I said, I know that face.
Yeah, I know.
I know her from LinkedIn. It was cool.
And when we met, we like talked like we had known each other forever. Yep. So that was like the greatest part about it. We laughed and smiled, and it was so great. Like I say, you see people all over on social media, everywhere. And then when we went at the spark, I looked and said, and I think we both at the same time was like, oh,
yep.
We I know you. So it was wonderful to finally meet you.
Likewise.
So tell us a little bit about how you started your entrepreneurial journey. Because, you know, again, your smile is infectious and everybody loves you, Ayana.
Oh, thank you. I'm sure. Now, let me tell you, I'm sure everybody don't love me. But if they don't,
think everybody, Ayana, I do. Because like I said, you have a beautiful spirit. So tell us how you started your entrepreneurial journey.
I received that. Thank you. Honestly, I started let me say this first. I never set out to be an entrepreneur ever. I wasn't a person that grew up. I come from a working class family. My dad is union all the way. So I just, and you know, I've always been employed and had jobs mostly that I enjoyed. And so it was never something that happened that I was growing up thinking about, like becoming an entrepreneur, starting a business. Never. I used to want to be a journalist, a traveling journalist.
Okay.
And what happened was I got into the senior living industry, and it's an industry that I love so much. It's an industry that needs a lot of work, but it's an industry that I really loved. Mm-hmm. And I was in a corporate communications role, and I went from really loving my job and loving everything about it, mm-hmm. to really being just like not happy at all. And it was really the first time in my life that I had been so unhappy. And so unhappy, so much so that I think it was like affecting every part of my life. It was affecting my health, my home life. And so when I made the decision to leave, I really had no backup plan. I didn't. I didn't. I just was miserable and was like, I'm out.
So took that leap of faith.
I took a leap of faith. I honestly did. I thought about all the things that I really was drawn to doing that I knew I was good at. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to help other businesses really learn how to get a handle on their social media. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'm going to be talking to them about diversity and inclusion, because one of the reasons that I left was because I just didn't see the inclusion there that I would have liked to have seen in a lot mm-hmm. of industries, but specifically there. And okay. It bothered me. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start this business. It's going to be about social media and marketing and coaching, but it's always going to be about diversity and inclusion too. And I just ran with it. And my business has just like exploded. That was back in 2018. Back in 2017, while I was still working, I got my business license. I still was like, and that's only because I had a friend who had been talking to me about it. She knew I was unhappy. She was like, well, just get your license, you know, just go through Lero, whatever. And I said, okay. So when it was time for me to go, I at least already had, you know, a setup. So that's how it started.
Good. And you, I guess.
I'm sorry.
You say 2018. And you've just, like I said, you've exploded. And, you know, I know you through this from the Southwest Chamber. And like I said, love your spirit. And you are right. The two things that you advocate are older adults, yep. and diversity, equity, and inclusion, mm-hmm. are something that, you know, both industries are much needed. They need a lot of help. And so when it comes to small business owners, you know, it's one thing we've been talking about is diversity, equity, and inclusion. But just around the pandemic, just the fact mm-hmm. that a lot of business owners kind of have an eye or an idea of the kind of person they want to hire for a specific job, right? And we've been saying this throughout the pandemic. You're going to have to open up your mind. You're going to have to look in other industries, look in other areas. You know, I'm not knocking any specific, no millennials. I'm not knocking anyone. But what I'm saying is we have to be looking in all different areas. If you look at your vets, retired vets, and you have to look at older individuals, you have to look at those that may have disability changes. But at the end of the day, when you think about it, Ayanna, we all really just want a chance, right?
Yes.
Those of us that really, really want, we want a chance. We need somebody to give us that chance.
Yes. The other thing I'll say about that is, when you have that kind of representation, mm-hmm. not just racial and ethnic mm-hmm. and even gender, what I like to call the big three, when people talk about diversity, they're usually talking about race, ethnicity, and mm-hmm. gender, all important. But when mm-hmm. you talk about all the types of diversity you can find, when you talk about age, when you talk about people from the LGBTQ community, when you talk mm-hmm. about differently abled workers and older mm-hmm. workers, when you get that representation, mm-hmm. your business actually grows, because that's how innovation happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So to get people to understand it from that point of view is really been my mission and the core of the kind of work I'm doing. But I'm always very transparent in saying my motivation is very selfish. I'm raising two biracial Black children in this world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So understanding diversity and inclusion, encouraging it, wanting it, is not so good for business. Obviously, it's good for business. Studies show us that. Right. It's also good for humankind, and that's what I want.
Exactly. It goes across so many levels. It goes through so many spectrums. And like I said, it's just you know, not, you know, I have, you know, African-American son. You know, it's not just about the color of your skin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about religion. It's about, you know, all of us. And taking that perspective that the workforce and just the community and just everything is much, much more rich. Oh, when yeah. you are taking everybody into accountability, you're accepting everyone for who they are, and not judging. You know, yeah. I think during this pandemic, it's been a lot, you know, it's a lot of judging. Even when we go so far as we talk about the vaccine.
Yeah. You know,
those that don't want the vaccine, then those are going, you better get the vaccine. And you got other ones going, I'm not doing it. Yeah. You know, but yeah. you know, but still being respectful. We can we can disagree, right? But we still have to be respectful. That's why I always say, at the end of the day, be kind of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we're having to do as small business owners. You got to look outside just what you've already always been had access to, because there's so much more.
Definitely.
You know, so much more when you look at the different perspectives, the different ideas, the different backgrounds, skill sets, and all of these things come together and they just make your community and the workforce and just life much more rich than without it. So we have to really keep that perspective in front.
And again, that's how you get innovation.
Yes.
When I look at certain industries, and I'm just going to take the senior living industry, for example, when I look at the marketing, when I look at the words they use, the images they show, you know, you can pick a senior community here in Michigan and you can pick one on the West Coast and it's almost the same because there's no innovation there. There's not a lot of diversity to begin with in the leadership level in the marketing. And I was part of a marketing team, so I know this.
Okay.
So you get the same words, you get the same images, you get the same vibe. You don't get innovation because you don't have anybody thinking outside the box.
Right.
But when you have a ton of representation, there is no box.
Exactly. I like when you say that. There is no box. I love that. There is no box. You know, it's everybody coming to the table and you know, coming, bringing their own interesting perspectives all to the same pool and then using that to grow, you know, your business or your community or your church or your block, whatever it is. But just the fact that you are, you know, being respectful, that respectful is just so huge with me because I get so tired of seeing people just having a limited view, a very narrow scope, a very narrow view. And it's just this way and not thinking about others, you know? So that's the thing I love about, like I said, diversity, equity, inclusion. We talk about that all the time. But when I talk about it, I also think about it with regard to small business owners, because, you know, that's my niche is small business owners. And how can we, as small business owners, how can we, you know, take those different roles, those different journeys to grow our businesses? And, you know, what kind of steps can we take to do that and open up those doors to everybody instead, you know. So how can small businesses do it is the question that I have.
So I'll tell you from my experience, it's been networking. I know everybody will say networking, but from the very beginning, again, I didn't have any business acumen. I'm being so serious about that. Like my first year, even now to some degree, I don't know what I'm doing sometimes, you know?
Absolutely.
I've business before, but I will tell you what worked for me. Very early on, I was intentional about networking.
Okay.
Not just in my local area. Very important. Partnering with my local chamber, the Southern Wayne County Regional Chamber, was instrumental in just meeting people, whether they were going to be my clients or not.
Right.
Meeting people, because what it did from the very beginning was it got me very comfortable talking about what my business was.
Okay.
And because my business has so much to do with challenging conversations when we're talking about race and authenticity, and people don't have these kinds of conversations in their personal life. So to have them in the professional life was really hard. Mm-hmm. I just needed to get used to talking to people, specifically white people, about this kind of work. And as a small business owner, you know, I truthfully could not afford in the beginning. Stuff is different now. I could not afford to be a part of every networking group, you know. Right. Mm-hmm. So I was strategic in who I partnered with. Mm-hmm. And so I partnered with training companies who I mm-hmm. knew had diverse pools that I could tap into, that I could serve. And so that's what I started doing very early on.
Absolutely.
All about my networking.
And yeah, and that's very important is network. You're so good at it. You really are. People draw to you. And so again, the fact that the thing that I like is you said when you're networking, you went outside of your comfort zone and not just in your immediate area, yeah. you know, but out, you know. I think one of the things with this pandemic is that the virtual world has just grown because people yeah. really see what you can do and how you can increase your audience and your reach, yeah. you know, to people just outside of your community.
Yeah.
And so I've met people from California. I've met people, especially like the neighborhood, Happy Neighborhood Project that I'm yeah. a part of, yeah. you know, you meet people from all over the world.
Yep.
And so that's very important that you are able to kind of, I'm one of those people that you have to pull.
I was that way in the beginning.
You have to pull.
Certainly now with the pandemic, it's been more difficult for me to,
yes.
Because I'm used to doing everything. Honestly, April, everybody thinks that I'm such an extrovert. But honestly, I feel more comfortable at home and in my own and to myself. So it takes a lot of energy for me to go out and network and do those kinds of things.
I certainly can relate.
and honestly, like I'm telling you, if I do something in person, I don't care if it's an hour or 2 hours, I'm done for the day. Like,
I know.
I'm serious.
I look like, okay, it's nap time. Let me go in and sit down and be quiet for a little bit. I got to bring it all down. Yeah, because you really have to kind of build yourself up a little bit to actually get out. It's because it's so different than before. Yeah. You know, it seemed like before, you know, you just got up and went.
Yeah.
You got to win. And I'm going to tell you one of the things that really got me is it's so funny, but because my daughter laughs at me. It's like when I leave the house, I have to have my purse around my keys on there, my hand sanitizer, my mask. You got to make sure I have another mask. And then when you get out the car, you got to make sure you have all that stuff before you leave. And then it's looking like by the time you get back home, you're worn out, you know. But it is, again, it's so important. Yeah, it takes some mental to kind of get like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, honestly. And I think for me, like my family and I were sick with corona last March. Mm-hmm. So it took a very long time for me to want to come out and be around people because I was just, you know, I had such anxiety about being in crowds. And mm-hmm. I finally did get my vaccine, but it took me a long time to get it. It did. I was one of those people that was dragging my feet. I was. Because I hadn't been sick in so long. So yeah. no judgment. You're not going to get any judgment from
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
I hadn't been sick since I was sick with corona, and I was very sick. So I was really frightened, very afraid of getting sick even from the vaccine mm-hmm. because I'm not being dramatic. I really thought I was going to die that first time around. I really did. So it's taken a lot for me to even start coming around people and doing things, like especially not outside. Like now that the weather is breaking, I'm like, yeah, let's go to the farmer's market. Let's meet here. Let's meet there. But when it was colder and people were getting together indoors, even safely, mm-hmm. I was like, you ain't gonna see me.
Right, right, right. And I remember like earlier in the year, like in like January, February, it was you know, people's like, oh yeah, we're having an on-site job fair, and we want you to, yeah, no, we can't do on-site. I'm not ready for the on-site. Yeah. Let's do the job. Yeah. That was me. Cause I think I had it in the beginning before they were even had a name on it, and it kept me down for a couple months.
Yep.
And so, you know, I was like you. I dragged my feet a little bit about this shot. I went and got the first one. Then I got the second. Now, the second one, I got sick. And I'm still thinking to myself, oh, boy. Every time I start feeling a little funny, I go,
yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
That's not the shot, is it? You know, yeah, so.
That's why I went and got the Johnson & Johnson, because I couldn't trust myself to go back a second time. Let me be one and done. And when I tell you I was sick as a dog, I was sick for 3 days. And I was sick in a way that made me feel like how I was sick when I had the virus. So it was scary.
Yeah, right. And so that's what I'm saying. My first one, I was fine, with the exception of like my arms swelling up really huge and stuff. But yeah. The second one,
yeah,
Ayana, by the time, I think I'm like 15 minutes from where I got it, the where I went to got the by the time I got home and was coming up the steps, I was starting to feel sick.
Oh.
And see, my daughter was like, Mom, I was like, get me some blankets and bring me the heating pad, because I'm freezing. Yeah. And I was like that for like 2 days.
Yeah. But the good thing is once it lifted, I have felt better. And I feel a level of safety.
Yes.
Just having the vaccine.
So, yes.
You know, I don't judge people either way. People who say, I'm not going to get it right now. I say, you know what? You got to do what's right for you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If you ain't going to get it, let me find out you don't have it and you walking around here without a mask.
I want to thank you.
Because I'm going to come on you.
Because you know the conversations that we're having, you know, with clients and with colleagues, is that, you know, can I make it mandatory for them to get vaccines?
Yeah.
And because, you know, we have certain people that didn't want to wear masks in the first place.
Yeah.
And now you don't have to wear the mask. So it's like, I got the mask, and I've had so many questions, at least,
I bet,
at least 3 times a week. It's like, so if they don't have a card and say they've been vaccinated, what do I do? You have to make them wear a mask.
Yeah.
You know, because it's still a huge, you know, we're not through it yet, Ayana. We're on a better side of it.
Sick. Yeah, people are still getting sick.
Yeah, people are still getting sick. So we still have to be careful.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yep.
So responsible. And it's about being a good neighbor.
Yes.
You know? So
I like that.
From a professional standpoint, we have to do what's right for our colleagues and our clients too. So
yes. Yeah, you have to be able to keep your employees safe and yourself, because if you get sick, you take it home to your family. You know, my son has asthma, so we definitely don't want to bring it back to him, because he already has an underlying condition. And so those are things that we have to keep in the forefront of our mind when we're out.
Yeah.
You know, you never know, and you don't want to, we still have to be very careful, because we want everybody, you know, to be okay. Yeah. Everybody to be well. We really do.
Yeah.
So I like that you said networking is great. The best way, what our small business owners, for them, to network. I think as small business owners, we're wearing so many hats.
Yeah.
We're doing so many times, so many things. And as you said, you have to be intentional about networking outside, because you never know where you want to get that next great partner, that next big great employee.
That's right.
That next great employer.
Yeah.
You know, you never know where that's going to come from.
Right.
You know, so that's that. I like that you said I was intentional about networking. And that's a great way for us as small business owners. We got to network.
Yeah. No, we do.
Yeah. No matter how.
It's not all about being on social media either. I think that's very important. But and you know, this is somebody that did for a very long time social media coaching in my professional life before I was an entrepreneur. I ran more than 50 pages at one time. Yes. It's not good for your mental health. Let me tell you something right now. I'm serious. So, social media is really important, and that's an important part of networking, but there's got to be some other things that you do also. So actual networking groups. Are you connecting with people in media? Are you networking with those kinds of folks? Are they in your tribe, in your circle, in your hemisphere for you to reach out to? All of that was really important to me from the very beginning.
And I'm going to say this, I'm going to even say it like this, because like when I say I'm one of the people you have to pull to go network or push to go network, that's me. Yeah. Okay. I like my comfort zone. I like, you know, but I don't know. I think for small business owners, Ayanna, I don't think small business owners have a lot of time for social media. I just really don't think they do.
Let me tell you this, though.
But if you don't, you should.
Yes. I had to. And really, it's not that you don't have a lot of time. You don't need a lot of time if you plan well. So a lot of people would think for a long time, people would think that I was on social media all the time because of how my posts were coming up. But I would tell them, you know what? A lot of times I'm scheduling posts and it's just running. You know, a lot of times I'm looking at what's trending. First thing, you know, in the week I'm seeing, and then I'm picking up on some of that stuff and I'm peppering it throughout the week. Oftentimes I'm not just posting all day. I'll tell you that the majority of my time that I spend on social media is not on posting. It's on honestly trying to network and looking for people who might be good clients and partners with me.
Okay.
So even with my intention, even with the way that I use social media, I'm super intentional about the way I do that too. Cause you mess around, you'll be on TikTok for 5 hours when you went on, you know, to look at a LinkedIn post.
Yeah.
Talk about myself.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of discipline.
Yes, it does. I used to, and I'm starting to do it more now until I get me somebody to do, because social media is a job. I don't care what anybody says. It's a job.
I'm glad.
I mean, really, if you are really wanting to get your company out there, social media is a job. And it's not for the faint at heart.
Nope.
It really isn't, because it's not easy. I was watching one of my coaches, and one day she just said, you know, I got to tell you this. She was like, I don't have time for all the social media. She was like, I get it. And I was thinking to myself, she's on social media all the time.
You probably think she is.
Yes. She was like, no, she's like, and when she said that, I was like, oh, okay, so I'm not the only one.
Listen, if it's taking you, if you're a person and it's taking you, you know, 10 to 15 minutes every time you got to post something, you don't have time.
Yeah.
You don't have time.
Yeah. Right. So you know, that's the best time to just get, like, either get someone to do it for you or get one of the, like, I use Zoho now. Yeah, I use Zoho now. And just schedule them. Because otherwise, like you said, you'll be on social media for 6 to 7 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, you will. And you'll spend a whole day. Yes.
And the danger of it is, I know we're not talking about social media, but I'm glad you brought it up. The danger of it is, especially for small business people who already struggle with being disciplined in how they do things. Mm-hmm. The danger in social media is they can really spend a whole lot of time and trick themselves into thinking that they're doing marketing or doing something that's building their business. And it's not. Yes. When I do coaching, I'll say, how much time are you spending? Oh, I'm on here all day. I'm always posting. I go and look and I say, have you looked at your analytics? You're on here and you're wasting your time when you could have been making money with a client.
Right.
No,
exactly.
You have to know on social media where your clients are and where the voyeurs are. You know, I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook because most of my clients come from LinkedIn. I'm super intentional about the way I use social media. Okay. Because you're right, April, I don't got time.
Yeah. You will spend so much time on social media. And again, you'll have nothing to show for. All you have is a bunch of postings.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really have to, you know, that's why I said, you know, it's very important that if you're not, don't know what you're doing, to get somebody to do it for you.
Yep.
But yeah, it's not for the faint of heart. That's
It really is a job. I'm telling you. I ran several pages. I managed several pages in my it was hard. it was not good for my mental health at all, because it's not like you're just posting, you're also monitoring, you're looking at comments, you're looking at notifications, and it's nonstop, and it's just not healthy. It's not.
Yeah. Wow. I've learned something new today. That's for doggone sure. I've definitely learned something new, because I've learned something new. Because like I said, social media, I'll plan mine on weekends most time. I'll take a day.
Okay.
And then look ahead, look at what's planned out for the month, and then go from that way. And even when I do that, it's just, there are certain things that are always going, but it's not for the faint of heart. So getting back to the diversity, equity, inclusion with the small businesses.
Yes.
The networking is very important. And networking outside of your circle, coming out of that comfort zone.
Yep.
Is very important. And again, I think the thing with the virtual thing is that there's so many, your reach is so much farther now.
Yeah. A lot of
Yes. To partner with others and just reach out and help others.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's the core of it. I think that's how a business really grows, is not just by telling everybody how great you are, it's by demonstrating that you can provide value and that you can help someone when they're having a challenge. So
exactly. And yet, and a lot of times you find that on social media and you build those, like my accountability partner, Arianne Hargrove, the sisters queen. Yep. The sisters queen. I met her through, the Happy Neighborhood project. And I've met so many people through the Happy Neighborhood Project, just literally all over the country.
Yeah.
You know, people that just drop an email and say, "Hey, April, how's it going? I haven't seen your smile. I haven't talked to you. How's it going?" Just built those relationships. Look, and like you, I consider myself an introvert. Right. But you like, listen to Mike Grueley. He always like, "Okay, introvert. I'm an introvert. I keep telling you that. I'm an introvert." He's like, "You're an introvert, extrovert." I'm like, "No, I'm an introvert."
Well, most people are ambiverts. So like they are both introvert and extrovert. I just think if I had to look at either or, I would definitely be more on the introverted side.
Exactly.
So I think that people think because you can be social and you can be bubbly and you can be exciting, they always think that this person must be
an extrovert.
For me, I just think I pick up on a lot of, especially like I don't travel in circles where it's not good energy anyway.
Exactly.
So if I go somewhere, I am more energized and more social because that's the environment that I'm in.
Right.
So.
Right. It's so you're meeting the energy that is coming out to you, and that makes a huge, huge difference. You know, an example is, like I said, when we met in person, it was like, "Hey." Right, we had known each other forever. So yeah, it makes a huge, huge difference. You know, when you have that good energy going, and that makes a huge difference.
I
thank you for being on the show. I want you, before we go though, I want you to share a thought with our audience.
So a thought around DEI?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I think about DEI all the time. And I mean, in the way that I think about it, in the way that I wonder if at some point this work will still be as popular as it is now, or if organizations will really get it together. Will this be something that they just pick up, not as an initiative, but as an ongoing part of just who they are as organizations? I wonder about that a lot. And so I'm wondering about that. One thing that I want to leave with your audience is why I really think that a lot of initiatives fail. And honestly, I think that, you know, every year, this isn't new. Like, this work isn't new. Just because it's trending or trendy especially in the last year to year and a half, mm-hmm. doesn't mean this work hasn't always been being done. There have been people doing this work for decades, decades and decades and decades have been dedicated to really helping people understand why diversity and inclusion is a benefit. Mm-hmm. But I think why it doesn't stick and why people find themselves struggling year after year is because they never make it personal. They never mm-hmm. make it personal. What they do is we hire people to come in and help us with our DEI strategy. They help us with setting goals, mm-hmm. but they never address the core issue. And it's that organizations are made up of people, mm-hmm. people who are imperfect, mm-hmm. people who have bias, people who are ageist, people mm-hmm. who are ableist, people who are racist, people who are misogynistic. And if we do not get serious about that and then mm-hmm. do something about it at a personal level, okay, mm-hmm. starting at the top, not in HR, starting at mm-hmm. the top with executive leadership, our businesses, our organizations won't change. So when you think about parting thoughts, I want people to think about what it is that they can do personally to make workplaces better, to make them more diverse, more inclusive, more equitable, how they themselves can contribute mm-hmm. to creating a culture of belonging. Don't mm-hmm. start with somebody else. Don't start with goals and initiatives. Start with your doggone self.
Yes.
That's what I want to leave you with.
Thank you. Thank you. I love that. And you are so right, because when you start having that conversation, it's no secret that people start looking to what trying to hold others accountable for yeah. it, and finding out how others can be make a difference, or what yeah. others should be doing. But the initial conversation, the initial actions mm-hmm. have to come from within. That's right. Where it has to start. It has to start right. within, okay. and then move out, and then stop trying to keep everybody else accountable. Because as long as we are accountable ourselves, we'll mm-hmm. make the differences. We'll reach out to others. We'll have those conversations. We'll yeah. help others. You know why? Because that's the thing to do. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, once we all are doing it, start from that, like you said, that personal level, mm-hmm. individually.
Yeah.
That's when the actions really make a difference. That's yeah. where it starts.
Yeah.
And it starts from one person. It sounds like a cliche, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
It may sound like a cliche, but it is the truth.
So I think the other thing, if I can leave with a second thought, is how important it is to have empathetic leadership. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have empathetic leadership within those channels that have the mm-hmm. most influence, these mm-hmm. conversations won't even happen. So I'm just so proud of the work that I've been able to do with so many organizations, especially in the last couple years. What I will say is that people are ready. They are ready for the conversation. They're ready to do the work. They just need assistance because they don't know how.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the person to get them started and lead them in the direction, my dear, is you, Ayana.
Oh, thank you.
You are the one to get them started. Absolutely. And I appreciate you, the work that you're doing. And you can always reach out to me. Always reach out to me. I love the work that you do. I love your energy. I love your smile and the great things that you're doing. Like I said, you are loved by so many, because I just love your energy. Good grief. So I thank you, thank my you. Sweet, for joining us, to being a guest on here. I look forward to having you back. And we'll have to get together and have lunch or something yeah. now that we've both got yeah. our shots. Right. Yep. Now that we've had our shots and we're feeling much yep. better,
yep. Yep.
We'll have to get together. At, I'm sure we got a spark coming up somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely sure. And I'm looking forward to getting back out with the Southern Wayne County Regional Chamber for events. They want to put on an event. They do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw something coming up, a gala.
Oh, yes. In September. That's huge.
Yes.
That is
I saw
a future
that.
Event. You get all dressed up. You see the guys in their suits and their tuxes. Mm-hmm. See ladies in really nice gowns and beautiful dresses. Mm-hmm. It's a good night. So I hope I'll see you there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I thank you, my darling. I look forward to having you on again soon. Blessings, blessings, blessings yes. to you.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Everyone, we have the fabulous Ayanna King, CEO and founder of Communications, Maximum Communications.
Yeah, Maximum Communications.
Always good to chat with her and always good to hear her voice. And for your diversity, equity, and inclusion questions, your strategies, or a plan,
yeah,
you need to reach out to Ayanna King. Reach out to Ms. King, absolutely.
So I'll tell you, your guests, I'm available. You can find me on LinkedIn or you can email me at aking@getmaxcoms.com. So that's aking@getmaxcoms.com.
All right. All right. So you guys are going to have to get over there and say hello to Ayanna and see how she can show you guys which way to go. Because that area still, we need a lot of work and we need great people with that beautiful energy to keep championing us forward.
Yeah.
So folks, thank you, Ayanna. Don't forget, business can be like a circus. Don't let HR be the elephant in the room. Don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn, Offer HR and Business Solutions. We are on Instagram at Offer HR. We are on Twitter at Offer HR. And we have our small business Facebook group, which is the Small Business HR Success Hub. So come on through and get your HR aids and drop your questions. And don't forget, tomorrow's Freedom Friday. So you can drop your HR question on any of our social media. And if we answer your question tomorrow, 7:30, you win a free gift.
Ooh, nice.
How cool is that? Yeah. All right, folks. Thanks for joining us. Happy Talk About It Thursday, Ayanna. I look forward to seeing you again soon. Stay safe. And everybody, be kind.